Just before I start, the church that we're going to next Sunday afternoon, some of us, it's where those people came from who came down here last week. It's a sort of return match, as it were. If any of you want, any others here want to go, it would be great, but I'm going to need somebody who's got a car, because the cars that have been offered have already been filled. But if you came last Sunday and you enjoyed it, you probably enjoy going up to that particular church. If you came last Sunday and hated it, it's not for you. Go to the football instead. Okay, Mark's Gospel chapter 5. Mark's Gospel chapter 5. Verse 25. There was a woman who had suffered terribly from severe bleeding for 12 years. Even though she'd been treated by many doctors, she had spent all her money, but instead of getting better, she got worse all the time. She'd heard about Jesus, so she came in the crowd behind him, saying to herself, "If I just touch his clothes, I will get well." She touched his cloak, and her bleeding stopped at once, and she had the feeling inside herself that she was healed of her trouble. At once, Jesus knew that power had gone out of him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples answered, "You see how the people are crowding you. Why do you ask who touched you?" But Jesus kept looking round to see who had done it. And the woman realized what had happened to her. So she came trembling with fear and knelt at his feet and told him the whole truth. And Jesus said to her, "My daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your troubles." What's today apart from being Sunday? What special day is it in the life of the church today? It is Pentecost. And Pentecost is the time of year when Christians remember especially what? Yep, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And we need to remember this not as sort of an exercise that we do, but as an experience that we partake of and we share in and we're part of down to this day. So let's read Acts chapter 2, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, from the New King James Version. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear them each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" And others mocking said, "They're full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the Lord, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And going down to verse 37, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. I've called this message, Just One Touch from the King Changes Everything, which is why we started with that passage about the woman with the issue of blood, because just one touch of Jesus for that woman changed everything in her life. And the Gospels are full of accounts of people who had been touched by Jesus and their lives have been changed. And what a roller coaster of emotions the followers of Jesus had been through in 6 weeks. They'd had a fantastic 3 years with Jesus. They'd seen him heal the sick. They'd seen him open the eyes of the blind and unstop the ears of the deaf. More than one dead person had actually been raised to life, and they'd witnessed it. Notable sinners had been changed. Lives and communities had been impacted as Jesus went around doing good. And then it must have seemed as if the good times had permanently stopped. Jesus had been arrested. They'd all deserted him. Jesus had been crucified and died. 3 days later, firstly some of the women and then most of the apostles had seen him alive in odd circumstances. His body alive and resurrected, yet seemingly not subject to the normal physical laws that everybody else follows. Then a period of about 6 weeks of appearances, sometimes to individuals, sometimes to groups, then to more than 500 people all at once. And these resurrection appearances of Jesus concluded with a remarkable day when Jesus led his disciples out of Jerusalem, having told them to go back and wait for the Holy Spirit. And then he was received into heaven in a way that Scripture doesn't fully explain, but which it says will be done in reverse order when Jesus returns at an unknown future date. And so these people had gone back and waited and waited. They'd waited for 10 days. And during that time, the city had filled up with devout Jewish people from many places who'd arrived in the city to observe the Feast of Pentecost. And the disciples were still waiting. They were praying. They were full of expectancy that God was going to do something. Let's just pause there for a moment and ask a question. You know, I wonder if that's us. Are we full of expectancy that God is going to do something? Is God going to do something in your life? Is God going to do something in your family? Is God going to do something in the life of the church in this country or in other parts of the world? Let's come together with a sense of expectancy that God is going to do something. You know, I think that, to me, that's one of the contrasts between church in this country and when I go to church when I'm in Nigeria. In Nigeria, they always expect that God's going to do something. And in Britain, we hardly ever expect that God's going to do anything. And maybe that is why we don't see church growth. Why should the church grow easier in a place like Nigeria than in Britain? And we've got so many seeming advantages. But maybe it's because there's not much of a sense of expectancy. We think, oh, well, you know, God's not done this in the past, or he didn't do that, so why should he do this? But we need to expect that God can break in and God can do something. That's what that woman expected. The woman with the issue of blood. She'd tried everything, but she expected that through Jesus, God was going to do something. And she received that great blessing of healing from him. So the disciples were expecting that God was going to do something. They knew that they were going to receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them. And that power was going to help them take the message of Jesus throughout the world. And here again, we need to pause because we could have a little contrast with them and us. You know, 120 of them, message of Jesus goes to the world in a few years. 200 of us in Battle Baptist Church, and we're hard put to see 10 people added to the church in a year. You know, let's not kid ourselves here. Is this the same God we're worshipping? Is this the same Holy Spirit who wants to come and fill our lives and to turn things around? I believe it is the same God. I believe it is the same Holy Spirit. And we need to have that sense of expectancy that God is going to do something to change the lives of people around here. So they were expecting something, but they didn't quite know what to expect. And from their knowledge of the Old Testament, they'd have known that from time to time, this Holy Spirit had come to special leaders to enable them to do special things. In Exodus chapter 31, verse 2, when Moses was building the tabernacle, people were bringing their gifts to enable the work to take place. And God says, I have chosen Bezalel and I have filled him with the Spirit of God. Bezalel was filled with the Spirit of God for a specific purpose. And in the book of Judges, in the 630 congregation, we looked at this story a few weeks ago. I think it was John Sanderson preached on it. Now I've said that, I'm thinking, was it John Sanderson? Somebody preached on the story of Samson. Who was it? Dominic. Near miss. Anyway, it was a good sermon, and it was all about Samson. And he was tied up by the Philistines. They thought they got him, this leader of Israel, but the Spirit of God came upon him to give him supernatural strength. And you can read about how that happened several times. And then in Ezekiel chapter 47, there's quite a mysterious chapter where there's a prophetic picture of a river. And the river really represents the flow of the Spirit as a sort of overwhelming river that the writer gets into this river and it becomes a mighty flood and it brings life and healing and fruitfulness wherever it goes. And so these people waiting in the upper room for the coming of the Holy Spirit, they were aware that the Holy Spirit had come in the past. And for Samson, the Holy Spirit had given Samson supernatural strength. And for others, Holy Spirit had given the ability to do wonderful things with their hands. For some, the Holy Spirit had given them the ability to play music. And they were waiting, and they didn't quite know what was going to happen when the Holy Spirit came to them. I bet in their mind, in the period of 10 days, they'd gone through all the possibilities of what it might be. And then God did something totally different. And that is so like God. And those of us who've been Christians any length of time, if we're not careful, when God does something new and fresh, because he is God, we can almost sit on the sidelines carping and say, oh God, why didn't you do it like that? That's how you did it 20 years ago. What's all this new thing about? And I think that's one of the dangers as people get older. They expect that God is going to work in exactly the same way as he did in the past. I went to the football club award service last night down at the Senlac. And they've got a room at the back and a sort of beer garden barbecue area. And I was asked to give a short word, and I did. But when I walked in through this back room, and what really struck me was, because the Methodist Church are meeting there at the moment, and I thought, when the Methodists move out of here, wouldn't this be a good place to start a church that might reach the guys who are happy to go to the pub and listen to me talk to them at the pub, But in 9 years of running the football club, I've never come here, most of them. And yet, if you'd have said that to me 20 years ago, I'd say, oh, no, 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 God wouldn't do that. How could God do that? How could God work in a place like that? And it's for, you know, we mustn't get trapped by our own thinking. So I'd encourage you, especially if you've been a Christian for some length of time, expect that God can do something new and fresh, and it isn't going to look like what you did 20 years ago, if you were a Christian 20 years ago. It's probably actually going to be quite different and may make you feel a bit uncomfortable, but God has a habit of turning up in new and fresh ways. And I don't know if it must have been a terrible shock on the day of Pentecost when God came the way he came, because nothing could have prepared them for that. The tongues of fire, the rushing mighty wind, all of that was different to the way in which God had often shown up in the past. But all the way through the Old Testament, God promises something greater and fuller to come. Not just an occasional anointing, but something that was going to be for everyone. And again, that's sort of something different, isn't it? That in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was given to some people, some of the time, for a special reason. But Jesus says he's going to pour out, the Holy Spirit's going to be for all flesh, for men and for women, that all are going to have a place in this, not just occasionally, but forever. Jesus, too, in his lifetime, made promises about the Spirit, which at the time the disciples probably couldn't really have understood. He said in John 14, I will give you another counselor. You know him. He lives with you and he will be in you. So then, after the ascension of Jesus into heaven, the anticipation steps up a gear. We have these people waiting for 10 days, praying, until we get to Acts 2, where just one touch from the King of Heaven changed everything. You know, within 5 minutes, their lives had been turned upside down. They had been filled with the Holy Spirit. They had received the power of God. They were doing something they'd never done before. They were praising him in languages they'd never learnt before. And then they found that they'd got something they'd never had before. They had the power of God to share their faith with other people. They were equipped and empowered to go out into the world with the gospel. So those first Christians were energized with power and their lives were transformed. Their timidity was left behind as the Holy Spirit came upon them. I believe people need that touch from Jesus today. I believe many people in our church desperately need that touch from Jesus today to turn the situation round. You know, the first touch we need from God, obviously, is to be born of the Spirit. Francis mentioned this in what he said to the church this morning. You cannot be born again and become a Christian unless the Holy Spirit is working within you. The Holy Spirit working in the life of someone brings them to that point of repentance where they turn away from what they are shown by God to be wrong and they turn to Christ in faith. They turn their life over to Jesus. And when they do that, just one touch from the King changes everything. When people come to Christ in repentance and faith, he is able to forgive them and change them. Some of you have heard me tell this story before, and I apologize. It's not because I'm repeating myself. It's because it illustrates a point. Several years ago, we went carol singing in a nursing home in Battle. It's long since closed down. And at the end, a lady started talking to me, and she said she wanted to come to church. And I was thinking, oh dear, you know, this is going to be a bit of a fag. How are we going to get this lady to church and the rest of it? And the matron said to me afterwards, something about, oh, don't take any notice of her. She always asking people to do everything. And I forgot about it, I will admit. Anyway, a couple of ladies who'd been carol singing didn't forget about it. They brought this woman along to the meetings at Clavering. And she got converted. She was 89. So she came to Jesus at 89, and then of course she knew that just because she was 89, that was absolutely no reason at all why she shouldn't be baptized. So we baptized her in the pool here. Half a dozen strong, handsome young men helped me do it, and we baptized this lady and got her in and got her out quite safely. And we all enjoyed a few weeks later celebrating her 90th birthday. And two or three months after that, she died. But in the sort of probably 6 or 9 months she had between being converted and dying, her life just changed out of all recognition. She went from being a miserable old dear into really a lovely lady who people in the church got to know and had time for. And you could just see that this woman had met Christ. She was 89 years old. She'd got every reason to be bitter. Her husband had died. Her money was running out. She'd got no kids. But God timed it perfectly. And when she died, it was so marvelous. She died. And when her estate was published, I think she'd got about £1,200 left. God just took her into glory before the rent was due. Wasn't that lovely? And for her, just one touch from the King changed everything. And coming to faith in Jesus and turning our lives over to him and deciding to live for him is the single most important decision any human being can make. Because if it's done wholeheartedly and sincerely, then God, by his Spirit, gives us a brand new start. So people need that touch from Jesus today. They need a touch from him to help them to be born again, to be born of the Spirit. They need a touch from Jesus today to be baptized in the Spirit. Christians experience God's Spirit within them, leading them to faith and commitment. However, they also need God's Spirit upon them to clothe them with power from on high. I believe, and I believe the Bible teaches, that there is a definite experience of receiving the Holy Spirit. Some people call that the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, when we come to Christ through faith, we may not particularly experience anything. You know, you may not have any sudden revelations. You come to Christ by faith. But I think when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and clothed with power, you will experience something. It will be definite, and you will know that it's happened. Just as if I said to you, have you been baptized in water as a believer? You couldn't say, I don't know. Because if you have, and your memory is functioning, then you will know. It's a definite experience. You don't say, oh, I think I've been baptized in water. You either have or you haven't. And the baptism in the Holy Spirit is very much like that. You either have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit or you haven't, and you're still seeking that fullness of God's Spirit. So how do you know definitely whether or not you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible gives us the answer. It says to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So what that means is when you've received the fullness of the Holy Spirit, you will receive at least one spiritual gift, which you will be able to exercise in church or be able to exercise towards the building up other people and other people's faith. It is Jesus who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit from his position of authority at the right hand of the Father. And where the Holy Spirit is concerned, just one touch from the King changes everything. Last week, when I took Gabriel and Grace Fiorucci to Coventry after the 4 o'clock service, we went up to London, we went to Charing Cross, and we got the Northern Line up to Euston. And when we went through Tottenham Court Road Station, I said, it was Goodge Street, I said to them, I can never come through Goodge Street and Tottenham Court Road without remembering when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit at the American Church in Tottenham Court Road on the 5th of November 1969. I said, and what sticks out in my mind is that we went to this meeting and this guy prayed for us and we all started speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave us utterance. And I'd worried for a long time about starting to speak in tongues and I'd never realized how to stop. And so I got to the station and I needed a single to Wimbledon. And somebody else had to buy it for me because I didn't... I know it sounds silly now, but at that time, it was such an overwhelming experience. And I'd seemingly waited for such a long time. I thought, I'm not going to stop and mess this up. Let's keep going. And, you know, God can give us definite experiences of the Holy Spirit. And when he does, it is such an overpowering thing. It is true, just one touch from the King changes everything. And just as the apostles were not the same after the experience of Acts 2, I believe the same holds good for followers of the Lord Jesus Christ today. The experience of the Holy Spirit can change your whole outlook as a believer. And I think the baptism in the Holy Spirit is often the missing ingredient in the lives of many Christians today. And I would urge you to ask God for this if you've not yet had this experience. God doesn't have favorites. And the scripture says, how much more does the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Who wouldn't want to be filled with the power of God and feel great about it? You know, there's nothing about the Holy Spirit that's going to harm you, hurt you, make you feel low and depressed. No, it's the other way around. You're going to feel really good in that experience of God. So I would encourage you that many people don't have because they've never asked or sought. And if that's a fair description of where you are at, then Jesus doesn't want you to stay that way. Seek the Holy Spirit today. He will revolutionize your relationship with God. And people also need a touch from Jesus today. This is the last point I want to make, to walk in the Spirit. God is supernatural. And God wants to bring a supernatural dimension into our lives. And he does that through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like a river of water flowing out of us. And rivers don't stand still. And so your experience of God should be larger now than it was a year ago. If you feel your spiritual experience is the same as it was a year ago, or not as good as it was a year ago, then it would seem to me that there's something perhaps in your life that's sort of blocking the flow of what God wants to do. God longs for people to be born of the Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and walking in the Spirit. Sometimes we may need to linger in God's presence until we get a fresh anointing. Ultimately, it's all of God's grace. And if you remember nothing else this afternoon, I just want you to hang on to this phrase, that it's just one touch from the King which changes everything. Amen.
Thank you, Dennis. That word has touched your heart. Today is the day. Don't wait until tomorrow.